Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome back to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast for today. We are blessed to have back with us our good friend, Dr. Richard Ruling. Now, Dr. Ruling's been on here several times, and he always brings wisdom and insight concerning the end days and the end time prophecies into modern day understanding. And he's done that again today, as he believes that the soon return of Jesus is like right here, right now. And I have to agree, all the signs indicate that we are definitely living in the last seconds of the last minutes of the last day. Now, today we're going to start off with, you know, we introduced the topics yesterday. So if you missed yesterday's episode, you need to go back and listen to it to catch up, because we don't have time to get all into that. But today we're going to start going into how all of this started and what it means to us today. Now, back into the interview with Dr. Ruling.
And so I believe we are, yes, at the end time and running on fumes right now with the things of 2015 just as signs of something impending. But I think this is the year of the impending, you know.
Amen. Yeah, because that's, you know, I've been studying this for, oh, gosh. I mean, I'm not new at it, but I'm not a prophecy scholar by no means. I guess it's been 10 or 12 years now that I've actually been looking at all the prophecies, and it just keeps adding up. I mean, every single thing.
Right.
Just from the news reports you see at night. I mean, golly. You know, and it all started, really, in my opinion, from what I've read and from what I've studied, when we voted to take God out of the classroom. I mean, we now have, what, four generations of students that have not had God involved in the learning system? I mean, is there any wonder why our public school system and society is so bad? You know, I mean, it's, you know, I had the opportunity to actually meet, and is William Murray, the son of the renowned atheist Madeline Murray O'Hare, who used him to file a lawsuit against a school district in Baltimore that ended up stopping mandatory prayer in public schools. He's now a preacher of the gospel. We both testified at the Maryland State Assembly, General Assembly, on behalf of allowing student-led prayer in schools, I think 2 years ago. And, you know, just to sit there and talk to him, and, you know, he still, to this day, just, you know, he loves his mother, of course, but at the same time, he hadn't even talked to her for 10 or 12 years prior to her death, because, you know, he just could not accept anything that she was doing and resented her for using him and dragging his name in the mud for, you know, striking out against Christianity the way she did. But God is good, because now, well, for the past 25, 30 years or more, he's been a preacher of the gospel.
Amen. So, amen. So,
yeah, but yeah, and I see that, you know, that was in my school days when that happened. And, you know, just to, you know, see them taking down the Ten Commandments from the bulletin board, you know, I mean, it's like, it didn't really affect me as a kid, but I wonder why they were doing that. But you know,
I think it goes back further in history than most of us are looking, mm-hmm. in the sense that when the New World was colonized, this country was uniquely different in its constitution to not have church and state together, yeah. whereas every other country south of our border is Catholic. And I was an exchange student one summer into Colombia and Venezuela, and I remember going with a missionary to a town meeting in which we were appealing for a church to have meetings. So the people could come and hear about happiness and God and the Bible and so on. And the bishop and the priest presided over the meeting. You know, in other words, the town could not just vote, we want this. It was a priest and bishop in charge.
Wow.
And my point is that, you know, this country has not seen that kind of trouble, but I see starting with the even back in Abraham Lincoln's time, mm-hmm. the Pope was the only foreign entity that recognized the illustrious Jefferson Davis, president of the Southern States, and for him to, you know, they were eager for this country to be split and actually torn apart. The Chief Justice Roger Taney of the Supreme Court was Catholic, and he, in the Dred Scott case, said that the Negro has no rights that the white man is bound to respect. You know, in other words, they don't have any rights in this country, and if I was a colored Negro person, I wouldn't be Catholic because of that history. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just bad news. God created all men equal, and I believe He loves everybody just as much. And some of those black preachers are better than many white preachers.
Yeah, you know? Amen. There, that's a fact.
So it's just. You know, what we are in our faith is the key to who we are, really. And God put His word out there for everybody to read and to be free. The truth shall make you free.
Amen.
But because we got the word out of the Bible, the classrooms, like you said, we've gone into bondage in this country by sin that is, the chains of sin are strong and difficult. And I just say, we've gone through, you know, as you say, four or five generations where since then, and it's been a downhill course.
Yeah.
And I think that just coming back to the Daniel 11 scenario with, you know, the king of the north was fighting the king of the south, historically, there were three superpowers about 30 years ago. It was Russia, mm-hmm. U.S., and the papacy. Keys of this blood saw a three-way split, and basically U.S. combined with the papacy to overcome communism and to tear down the wall. But then, since then, the papacy is overflowing. You live in a state called Maryland, okay?
Yeah.
And and basically it surrounds D.C., and it has infiltrated through graduates of Georgetown and so on. The government is looking that way and welcoming the Pope in, you know, to the Congress. Three and a half years ago, and you know, if he has the answers on economy, why does all his people want to come to this country?
Yeah.
You know, I believe, you know, we want equality, but the difference, if we had anything to contribute, I believe it was the Protestantism that made us free and the Bible, mm-hmm. and we have gotten rid of both of those very well, and now we're just like we're headed towards the confusion that Babylon offers, you know, Babylon meaning confusion.
Yeah, that's right. Amen. Now, you also say that America is following the same path as that of the French in the 1790s. How so?
Well, the French Revolution came about in part when they threw out the Bible and worshiped the goddess of reason, but they had a bloodbath and guillotines and thousands and tens of thousands of the best of people in Paris were slaughtered. I think it was 40,000 in less than a year.
Wow.
And 300,000 were imprisoned or arrested. And then they decided, well, maybe we've made a mistake, and they invited the Bible back in. But recently in the news, the Notre Dame thing, bad history on that. It was the focus of a lot of persecution. I could understand why homeless people today would resent the spending of $1 billion by billionaires. Two billionaires have agreed to give up to $600 million, between them to rebuild. But, you know, Christ said, "In as much as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me." And there are so many homeless people. Why this rebuilding of something that really is has got a lot of bad history to it?
Yeah, amen. And you know, you talk about the homeless issue and all that. You know, as a veteran, I'm really heartbroken and angry, I guess you could say, about seeing people who went and sacrificed for this nation and were more worried about giving illegal immigrants housing and, you know, health care and assistance and things like that, education, But yet, we don't take care of our own veterans who, you know, many of them died, but, more than what actually gave their lives end up getting maimed in behalf of this nation. And yet, we don't want to take care of them. You know, we'd rather focus all our efforts on, you know, bringing illegal immigrants into the nation and taking care of them when we can't even afford the budget we got now.
A Catholic nun, former Catholic nun, who is out of the church now, calls it Romeland security instead of homeland security. Yeah. And the CIA has been called the Catholic Intelligence Agency. So many secret societies with Opus Dei and Knights of Columbus, and the leadership of that organization has been Catholic. And God loves everybody, but to use the system for force and to do what's happening in this country is, I think, I don't know that Trump is going to be able to drain the swamp like he intended. Basically, right. Run into all kinds of stuff that's huge, bigger than he is, I think.
Yeah, amen. Why are so many people fighting the Bible in America today? I mean, what happened to our society?
Well, I think that there is a Marxist Hegelian dialectic that says create a problem and then be the answer to that problem. And I think that the answer that they're seeking really is a new world order, which even George Bush signed on to and became Catholic, with the UN, and if America can lose strength and be weakened to the point where it can't get along, even there have been times when Chicago needed UN troops to try to keep peacekeeping. Well, these peacekeepers, they've gone to countries where there are peacekeepers and they rape the women and do different things. And let me just give you one bad example, I think, from the days of Pope John Paul. Rwanda, 25 years ago, had a genocide that was nearly a million Protestant Tutsis, were slaughtered by their neighbors in this situation where there were so... I watched a documentary on this, and the person said there were so many UN vehicles on the streets of Kigali that that if you spit, you'd probably hit one of those vehicles. And yet they were all ordered, and it gave a tremendous sense of security to everybody, but when the slaughter started, they were ordered to stand down and don't do anything, just let the local government handle it. That was in deference, I think, to John Paul. The orders came from the UN, but, the local government was Catholic. And, it was over in a very short time. And John Paul later said, sorry. Well, sorry, my foot. But if we think that human nature has changed, we haven't seen it yet. There's a Protestant publisher by the name of Jack Chick who put the Chick Publications, published some of the views of a former Jesuit priest, Alberto Rivera, which I do value. I see he wrote the book, The Godfathers. And shows the role of the papacy in World War II. They signed a concordat with Hitler, so that Hitler would make the world Catholic if he won the war. And so Italy and Spain joined on the side of Hitler to make that happen. And of course, America joined to prevent the disaster that was happening to Britain at the time, England. They would have been, and ultimately, that was the brightest thing. But right after the war, they started the strategy was UN. Now we need UN. And so the Pope ultimately, in my opinion, will be in charge of the UN. It's shown in Revelation 17:3 that a harlot is riding a beast. Beast represents governments, and I believe it's the New World Order beast from Revelation 13. We have created that government in our land and soil, and ultimately it is the one that compels false worship. It makes an image to the... It says it makes an image to the previous beast, which was Rome. But the image beast is the UN. New World Order will be like Old World Order. It's an image like it. New World Order, Old World Order.
Now, in one of our prior interviews, you talked about the wedding feast parables of Christ. Can you go over those 7 points again that you discovered in regards to those parables?
Yes. By the way, I would just say that We have misunderstood the wedding parables because I think that the most Protestants are looking for a rapture out of here, a quick snatch. Mm-hmm. And God has never worked that way in history. He's worked through trouble. The book of Daniel, Christ said to study the book of Daniel for end times. There's no rapture in the book of Daniel. You know, God was with Daniel in the first six chapters. He or his friends could have died any time, but God was with him. Yeah. And so I think if we understand the wedding parables, they the different points include the fact that there is a sudden event beyond which there is no time to get ready. The women who were asleep and there was a cry, the bridegroom comes, suddenly five women realized they were out of oil and didn't have any light in their lamps. Well, they went to get oil, and they probably got there to the wedding of 15 minutes, maybe half hour late, but it was too late. They were not admitted, you know. And the man in Matthew 22 who didn't have a wedding garment on when the king came in, he was thrown out. Now, wedding garments were provided by the host, and it probably would only take 2 minutes to change in the bathroom or put something on, but no time to do that, you know. And my point is that if we aren't watching at the right time, and I believe this coming month is the time to watch, and it's based on the 9/11 clues. Here's God's foreknowledge. It says in Isaiah 46:10, he declares the end from the beginning, and he has arranged clues in the book of Numbers, chapter 9, verse 10 and 11. It's 9/11, but the last six parables of Christ have links to situations that fit the Numbers 9, verse 10 and 11. The first one is as the days of Noah. We think, well, it was just eating, drinking, marrying, until Noah went into the ark. We don't think, but it actually tells when he went into the ark. It was the second month, second spring month, okay? They started the month in the spring, and May is the second spring month, okay? And it was Noah entered the ark on the 10th day, if you study this. And the 10th day is when the Passover sacrifice was selected in Egypt, in Exodus 12, verse 3. They set aside a lamb on the 10th day. Well, when people didn't go into the ark with Noah, they refused his invitation. They were selecting themselves for sacrifice. Mm. And I believe that we're coming up to a big event a month from now, actually a month from tonight, 4 weeks from tonight, I believe. We should watch and pray like Israel was told in Egypt. They were to be awake and pray that God would pass over them in judgment, that the judgment would not fall on them. And Christ prayed the same thing on his last night. He prayed, "Let this cup pass from me," or "pass over me." Now, he didn't want it to fall on him. Well, God could not honor Christ's prayer on that because he had to save the world. And so he said, "Not my will, but yours will be done." That's what Christ prayed. And because of his death for us, we can all be saved, you know. But the point is that Passover is an appointed time. The disciples were probably thinking Passover when they heard Christ talking about all this trouble in Matthew 24, one thing after another, and they were probably thinking Passover when Christ says watch. Another clue for Passover, it was the word watch means be awake, from the Greek word Gregorio, and it would be unfair for Christ to ask us to be awake if he didn't tell us when. But if we know that Passover was the only night that was required, then that helps us, you know. Mm. And it was a time of judgment, okay? So those clues add up to the fact that we should watch at the time of Passover. But he says, but you don't know, and that's a poor translation because the Greek word eido means be aware, consider, understand. He was saying, but you don't understand. It's like a man traveling to a far country. Well, in the 9/11 clue of Numbers 9, verse 10 and 11, if a man took a long trip in spring and he couldn't get back in time for Passover, he was to keep it the second month. It was a provision for that second month Passover. And so Christ's closing parables, like the days of Noah or like a man traveling to a far country, all fit the second Passover, second month scenario. And I am looking, I will be watching and praying on the eve 4 weeks from tonight. I plan to celebrate communion with my family, you know, any friends that want to come, and then watch and pray. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not a great prayer. I tend to fall asleep very soon. So I have found that if I will read What I do typically on that night is to read from the Gospels or from a book on biography on Christ's life, what he bore for us, what he did that night, what happened to him, and pray between chapters. It helps your focus to stay awake. And I believe that that's in harmony. That's eating the lamb spiritually. Israel ate a lamb physically. If we realize what he did for us, I think it's a spiritual application to eating the lamb. And if there's an event that night, which I believe there will be, we're ready for it. And because Luke 12:36 and 37 says, "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord..." Well, I'll back up. Verse 36 says, "To be like men that wait for the Lord when he comes and knocks, that we open immediately." And the verse 37 says, "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord finds watching. He will gird himself and make him sit down to eat and will serve him." And my point is that that's what happened to Christ. Christ did that on the Last Supper. He served his disciples. You remember, he washed their feet and he fed them, and he said, "This is my body, this is my blood," and so on. Well, we can do that and then be watching. And if he knocks, and the question is, what's the knock? Isn't Christ always at our door knocking? Well, there are multiple meanings to Scripture. And everybody, we all like the evangelical meaning that he's knocking at the door of our hearts, but we also forget that the only other place where Christ knocks, in Revelation 3:20, that church ended in an earthquake. It destroyed the church in around 63 A.D. They were materialistic, lukewarm, kept Christ outside. You know, they were focused on their things, and they thought they were rich, increased with goods. But God said they were really a wretched, poor, and blind and naked. Well, blind and naked is a bad combination for a knock at the door. Blind means you can't find the door very well, and naked means you can't open the door. So, it's bad situation for America in the sense that we are not ready for what's coming. And I believe that the day of the Lord in the Bible opens with a huge earthquake. In Isaiah 2, verse 12, it says it's the day of the Lord, and it'll be upon all the proud people. And verse 21 says, "The Lord will arise to shake terribly the earth." The New King James says he will shake the earth, mightily, shake the earth mightily. So, I believe we're ripe for a big earthquake that will really change the architecture of this country and probably bring in martial law. The next parable after the days of Noah, it says, "Then two will be in the field, one taken, the other left." And in Luke, the 17th chapter, the last verses of Luke 17 say, the disciples say, "Where, Lord? Where are they taken?" In other words, and he says, "Well, where the body is, there will the eagles be gathered," which means not good. You don't want to. You don't want to be a body. it's not good to be taken. You know, it's good. It's right. The flood took them all away. They died, and it's better to be left. So, I just say we've misunderstood that from those fictional movies. They made billions probably, but it's misled a lot of people.
Wow. Amen. And you say, now that's May 22nd, is what you're saying?
It's 4 weeks from tonight. I believe it's May 20 and 21.
Okay.
I plan to watch and pray. I'm going to look this up in my little pocket calendar book as we talk right now just to confirm what I'm telling you. May 20 on the night, that's Monday night. And, it's interesting that in the Roman calendar that we have, Gregorian, they named the different, in the Bible, it was not a Sunday, a Monday, a Tuesday,
right.
But Monday is Moon Day. It's like the church.
Yep.
But Tuesday in Spanish is Martes, or Mars. The planet Mars is war. And I believe that we will be transitioning from church to war, in the sense, like in the Revelation 6,
yeah.
Remember the white horse, but then comes the red horse of war, takes peace from the earth.
Yep.
I believe we will be moving that direction.
Wow.
As a result of what happens May 20.
Wow. Now, yeah. Is that because of the time zones, are we looking at Israel time, or,
Well, somehow... judgment on this country, I believe, will take the... Let me just say this. I have a favorite author that means a lot to me, and she... Let me just say... I'm coming from a Seventh-day Adventist background, but I'm no longer Seventh-day Adventist. I'm not trying to get anybody to join that church, but I believe that she was an inspired author who founded the medical school where I taught. And it has been given $40 million by NIH to find out why Seventh-day Adventists live about 7 years longer than other non-smoking groups. Mm-hmm. Well, I could have saved them some money if they'd have come to me, because it's what we put in our mouth. You know, it's what, and she wrote very, and she did not want to be taught at her medical school. She wanted natural remedies. And sadly, they hijacked the school from her to teach pharmacology and be accredited by the AMA. Mm. And she visited the school and had a vision of an earthquake, and she said many lives were blotted out, and it seemed that judgment day had come. And I believe that her vision will apply to the San Andreas Fault that's in California, and it's said to be locked, loaded, and ready to roll. And it's not just about Loma Linda and what they did that was wrong. It was Hollywood, and you know, people in Iran consider this country the great Satan. A Christian nation is a great Satan because of Hollywood and smoking, drinking, drugs, alternate lifestyles, and all that. Well, that's not Christianity. That's Hollywood, you know. But I believe something huge is coming of judgment. And interestingly enough, Ellen White, when she visited the campus and was commenting on her vision, she quoted Zephaniah 1:8 that says, "In the day of the Lord's sacrifice, which is Passover, God is saying, I will punish the king's children." And I believe that's the church that I used to be a member of. I've asked them to take my name off. Because they aren't walking in the light, you know, and they're like, and that doesn't mean they're worse than every other denomination is they're stuck in history. Yep. They're not open to what's happening, and you know, there's other truth besides you know, just what we grew up with, you know, basically
tradition. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
amen. Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. Once again, we are all out of time for today's episode and our interview with Dr. Richard Ruling. This is awesome. I hope you are getting the understanding that we are in the last seconds of the last minutes of the last days before the soon return of Jesus. Praise God. All these things are wrapping up. All of eternity is now open before us. All of the things that have happened since creation are about to be all wrapped up, and it is such an exciting time to be living in. Now, tomorrow we're going to conclude our interview with Dr. Richard Ruling, so you do not want to miss tomorrow. Amen? Stick with us, because it is getting awesome. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.